Teaching on faith, if you remember, and we call that teaching Faith Without Love Isn't True Faith. And we looked at that, and that is recorded and it's on our website. But in many ways, I want to follow on from that teaching, and I have a title today we're going to talk about, and that is Our Faith Sets Our Eyes on Jesus. Our faith sets our eyes on Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that this word that we hear will indeed set our eyes solely, completely on you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Our faith sets our eyes on Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're going to open up in the first chapter of John, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 14 of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on that John bore witness to all of this. Now, it's interesting that the emphasis of John's account here of Jesus Christ, and we have four Gospels, all appealing to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came in flesh, sent by God. But when we come to John's account of his Gospel, and his Gospel was probably one of the last that was written, whereas Matthew, Mark and Luke were written before, so he was aware of the accounts of their writings of Jesus. And here he reveals who Jesus really was and is. You see, he reveals that Jesus was sent from heaven. And he's revealing that he is God in Jesus Christ, as well as Jesus, who came from Abraham through David and was the Messiah that was promised, presented to the Jews under the Old Covenant. Even though John's account of Jesus is that we learn that the Word became flesh and is a living person and is real today. And so John's account of Christ deals with this idea of him being abstract, or just some idea, or being spiritual. That is what you hear so much today. People say, oh, well, I'm spiritual. And of course, that's New Age thinking. But he deals with all of those ideas, these concepts that man has, because it's very clear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He sets the scene completely here. You see, Jesus is so much bigger than our concept, our thinking, or just saying, I am spiritual. What is it saying here? It's saying, in the beginning was the Word. Well, of course, we know that the Word always has been. It's eternal. In God's realm, there's no beginning, no end, no time. It's uncreated, eternal, always has been, always will be. There never was a time when God was not. Now, of course, these are concepts that are difficult for us to imagine, to understand. But the apostle here is bringing it into a language, into terms that we can start to begin to comprehend and understand. Because he said, in the beginning, so there had to be a beginning. There had to be a start when God revealed himself. Because God created time, seasons, years, months, for us, for man. And yet he's outside of it. It's all part of his creation. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you cannot separate the Word from God and God from the Word. He was in the beginning with God. So in other words, when he revealed himself, when he spoke the Word into being and life formed, and we know the creation, its account in Genesis 1 and 2. So there was a beginning, then time started. The moment God spoke his eternal Word that always has been, the moment he spoke and began creating, time started for man. And yet God is still outside of it. And all things were made through him. Who? Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So we're beginning to see who this Jesus is, that he is so much greater and bigger, even though he divested himself and took on human form, flesh, in the likeness of man. And even though he walked this earth for some 30 years and his ministry was just nearly 3 years, yet his visual appearance, he was so much greater and bigger that man could not see that. Because he's eternal, we know that when John finishes his gospel, he says something very profound about Jesus. We're talking here about Jesus is the one who is created. He is the Word. He spoke the Word into being. What does John say in John 21 verse 25? John chapter 21 verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And amen, he puts it. So the world cannot write about him from his eternal aspect. He has always been the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He has always been there in the Godhead. And so where do you start to write about him? Where do you end? You can't. That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this is what the apostle is bringing us into as he's introducing this great gospel. He starts with Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the focal point of the Christian faith. There is no one else in heaven and earth who can be saved other than by that eternal name. And this is why Satan so often attacks, where he sort of implies that it's not applicable today. You cannot walk as a Christian today like they did in those early times. In the times of the apostles, in the times of the book of Acts. You can't walk it today. It's not applicable. Society is just so different. Well, man hasn't changed. His heart hasn't changed. His spiritual needs haven't changed. That is the whole point. That is the lie of the enemy. The enemy wants us to think that we are so much more educated today. And in probably in many ways, man is more educated. He knows more things. But the point is, has he morally and ethically changed? No, he hasn't. He's still born and conceived in sin. And we still live in a fallen world. We have today the advancements of medical science, technology, AI, and all of that that's advancing at a rapid state. Our culture has completely changed. So this is why we have the ecumenical movement of today in religion, that there are many ways to God because society is so different. Life is so different from the times of the book of Acts and the times of the Bible. It was written in a completely different dispensation. And they are the theories and all the things that we hear today. And so it's easier just to become spiritual. And that enables you to embrace and believe all the different faiths that we have around, and there are myriads of them. But you see, when you read the Gospel of John, and you read right here in these first 14 verses, it won't let you do that. They say that life is just too busy, it's too hectic today to follow him. You can't be a disciple today like you could in those days. Life was much simpler. There wasn't the complications, there wasn't the bureaucracy and the control that we have today. Well, does God make a mistake? Has our faith changed? Or do we still get faith as we read and we hear the word of God, as Romans 10:17 tells us? God does not make a mistake. You see, the world today isn't conducive to being a saint. You can't be a saint today. They were the things of the past. Well, we are called to be saints. We are called to be a royal priesthood. Why am I stressing all of this? Because our faith sets our eyes on Jesus and him alone. And when we set our heart on him, then our faith starts to become a reality, and it becomes real. And it's not just something that you talk about, or you debate, or you listen to a sermon. Unless our faith is translated into our everyday life and walk of faith, then the whole thing is just going to be spiritual, and Jesus will become that sort of abstract figure. But God will not let that be. And that is why he has a remnant set apart to himself, who are truly born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of above. You see, Jesus expressed in his word discipleship, and that hasn't changed. You see, we are born again, set apart to be Christ's disciples, first and foremost. That's why, sadly, discipleship is not really taught that much these days. Our understanding of discipleship is that we are identified to some organization or to some denomination or whatever it is. But really, true discipleship is a disciple of Christ first and foremost, if we truly have been born again. You see, it is seeing Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see his word. And when you see his word, then you are open and you receive the revelation of his word. And when God opens our eyes to the revelation to his word, in our flesh, it never makes any sense. And that is why you have to be born again. So that when we walk by faith, and in time as we walk by faith, then we begin to get that spiritual understanding. We get the revelation of God's word. You will never receive this in the flesh, in the carnal. Christians will never receive this if they are still in sin. This is why we have to keep close accounts with God, that if we do fall short, that we come confessing, and that the blood of Christ continues to wash us and refresh us and keep us in his presence, as well as the word of God. Why do I emphasize this? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And our faith has to be translated into deeds, into reality. That's why we hold so much to Hebrews 11 verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is real. We may be waiting for it. We may be waiting for the manifestation to our faith, but it is real in the realm of faith. That is why we embrace the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, for they are real. They are given to us. God's promises are there for us to be able to walk as Christians in this life, to be preserved and kept whole in mind, body, and spirit. Else who can stand? Who can walk this walk otherwise as a disciple? Unless God provides, none of us stand a chance. And he has done so through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through this word which we believe. We may not always understand straight off what we believe, but we know it to be God's word. And in time, God will reveal yet more, as he does through the Holy Spirit. But very often, our walk of faith, and when we step out in faith, it never makes any sense. And you know why? Because we have mountains in front of us. We have giants in front of us. We have every obstacle. The God of this world, the devil himself, doesn't want saints to walk by faith. And that is why he tries to keep many in fear. But you see, the Holy Spirit's come baptizing us to deal with fear, to deal with unbelief. And so that in time, we realize that God is faithful, he is true to his word, and we can stand upon these promises. As in the time of Israel, where God chastised the children of Israel many, many times, and their biggest problem was idolatry. God chased them more for idolatry than anything else. It is man's weakness. And the question, of course, I raise is, has it changed? Not at all. Not at all. Idolatry today in the contemporary church is still a major problem. It's one of the biggest hindrances. And what is the hindrance? It's seeing Jesus. It's seeing his word. The devil knows exactly how to attack us. And if he can hold us in idolatry, that is dependence on the things of the world, making idols of the things of the world, that is a hindrance to seeing Jesus. And when you do not see Jesus, you do not see his word. Because we're told that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And so these idols that we have to contend with, that we have to deal with, they have to be cast down in order so that our eyes can be kept on the Lord and on his word. Because we need the word of God to feed the inner man, the heart, to enable us to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. That is the whole point. And so he opens up then, doesn't he, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the beginning reveals when Jesus revealed himself, when he spoke the Word. Until then, he was hid. God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is not a spirit, he is spirit. But he had to reveal himself. And the way he revealed himself was through his son, Jesus Christ, the Godhead. And so when the word was spoken, the revelation of Jesus then was revealed and shown to the world. And when it was shown, it was revealed, he was revealed as light. And the light comprehended the darkness. There was darkness until he revealed himself. And then there was light. And it says, he was the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. And he says in verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. In other words, when Christ revealed himself as the Word, speaking things into existence, creating, he settled it that light would always overpower darkness right there in creation. Darkness would not be the dominant force, but light will be right there, the beginning of creation. That is what God had set in motion. And Satan has come as the prince of darkness, and he's trying to obliterate, he's fighting against that darkness that God set in motion. He said that will be the force, not darkness. And there is the spiritual battle in the heavens. The enemy is fighting against the light of God in Jesus Christ. And it says quite clearly, and it did not comprehend it. In other words, it will not overcome darkness. Now, there are times when it seems that darkness has won, has prevailed. But it's only for a short time. And very often in those times of darkness, even in our life, our walk, God is using that darkness in which to get to your faith and my faith, to make it stronger. Many would say that this time of this COVID, this plague that is attacking the world, it seems that it's taking over. Darkness is taking over. But I can assure you, God is using this. He's using this to expose sin, rebellion in the world. He's using this because there is a remnant to be saved in the world who will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, this idea in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did the Jews, the Hebrews, understand this? Well, it's interesting. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 19 and verse 17. And here's the story of where Israel, the children of Israel, are to meet with God on Mount Sinai. Remember that Moses went up for 40 days in which to receive the law, the word of God. And what does it say in chapter 19, verse 17? And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. So, the Jewish idea of the word of God was when they would come together and they would meet, and the Torah would be opened. It was to them meeting with God himself. And that is where they take this from Exodus 19 and verse 17. So when they come together, they open up the old covenant, the word, the Torah, they are meeting with God himself. The Word of God. So when we come under the New Testament, under the Greek idea, the Word of God, the Logos made flesh, our idea of this is the power of the Word setting order in the world and universe. So the idea under the Greek thinking is the Word was spoken setting order, creating the world and order and universe. So they're those two thinkings, those two ideas. And both have great insight. They really do. We've got to remember that John was ministering both to Jews and to Greeks of that time. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And for the Jews, that was meeting face to face with God. And so in many ways, when we open up the Word of God, when we read such verses like this, we're actually meeting with God through Jesus Christ, who is alive today, living this moment, ministering to us through the Word, through the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. We are meeting with God. That's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. This is why I always hold these meetings so, they're so important, because we're actually meeting with Almighty God. Yes, he's using human vessels. He has set the gifts into the church, but we are meeting with him. And so that's the idea of this. And this is where our faith comes. We see the Godhead presents himself. And this is the reason why we walk by faith and not by sight, because it's putting Christ first. When we open up this Word, this is God speaking to me. You cannot separate the Word of God from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, from the Father. They all agree. They are in complete harmony and agreement with the Word. It's the very nature of God. It's God's Word that is speaking to us. So why is it we doubt it? Why is it we still have a problem believing the Word of God? Well, because we're still in a process of change. We are still being delivered, brought out from. This is why we're being brought out of this world. Jesus said he's kept us in the world, he's preserving and keeping us, but we're just merely those sojourners passing through. My life, my home is not in this world. Even though I still walk upon it, and we have a house or whatever it is, but I am being brought out from this world into eternity, into my true home. My abode with Almighty God. And idolatry will keep you bound in the earth and on the earth. Idolatry will keep you in unbelief. Idolatry will keep you still depending upon the arm of the flesh and man and believing what man is saying. We're all so quick to believe the medical reports, aren't we? But we're not so good at believing what God says about us. That by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. And we know we're still influenced by the world, by what comes out of our mouth. It's what we confess. And what we confess is what we're going to get. That's why confession is so important. And the only way our confession will change is when the Word of God gets hold of us. And we become influenced, and we believe it, and we trust in it, and we know that is Almighty God speaking to me. And I choose to believe it. Then God starts to work that change, that deliverance. We're all too ready to hear man's report and take on board all the fear and unbelief and the bondage that goes with it. Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's going to provide for our everyday needs. And he knows those needs in this world. He knows what you need more than what you think you know. And he says, I'll provide it. You don't have to take thought. Don't consider. It'll be there. It might not be the time you want it to be there, but it'll be there. That is the whole point. Because we either walk by faith or we don't. And we're going to need our faith, this faith, the deeper life that we have been given. You are going to see more and more as time goes on, because we're so near to the coming of the Lord. You are going to appreciate all of this that God has graciously been giving us. Because the world out there, their hearts are failing them. They are gripped in fear and unbelief. Depression, all we're hearing now, aren't we, amongst people and on the news, is mental problems, depression. I've talked with people this week, oh, I'm battling depression. What's happening? It's all part of the falling away that we're seeing. That should not be with us when we feed off the Word of God. And so you see, our faith reveals a living God. Our faith reveals that Jesus is alive today and that he is amongst his people. That is what our faith should be. And we don't have to prove our faith, which is what the world wants us to try and do. Well, prove it. We don't have to do that. Jesus never tried. He didn't fall into that trap. And nor should we. Because the point is, it's revealed to you. Salvation was revealed to you and me. You didn't find salvation. It found you. That is the love of God. And what we do is we pray. We pray for the lost. We pray for our family, for our loved ones, that God will have mercy and that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The reason you're here today is because somebody prayed for you and God heard it. So the Word of God then feeds our faith. But our faith has to be lived. We have to live each day by faith. And what does God use for that? Well, you guessed it, trials. The trials of our faith, what are they doing? They keep our eyes on Jesus, the Word of God that was made flesh. That is what our trials do. You see, the reason why you go through your trials, I go through my trials, because it stops us from becoming religious. Because religion doesn't save man. Religion is divisive. Religion causes wars. Christ never came to establish religion. He came to establish a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know actually that it was the religious people, the Pharisees, it was religion that put him to the cross. And it's a curse. And that is why God will allow us to go through our trials and tribulations, so that our faith is real and not religious. Why am I stressing that? Because religious people, they can't stand trials. religious people always are running away from any trial. But you see, a man or woman of God who's truly born again will stand and see the salvation of the Lord, will simply stand in Christ and watch as he fights our battles by faith. Hallelujah. You do not fight your own battles. The one who lives and resides in you is the one who will stand, set a standard against the enemy. All he ever asks of us is to believe him, to trust him, and that as he has overcome all things, so we too will overcome all things through Christ Jesus. That is why I always keep saying, our walk as a Christian is not about doing, it's about being in Christ. And that's where our faith will come. And you see, when we start to go through these trials and these tests, then our faith becomes real. And the world out there who is desperate for change will see in us that our faith is real. They will see that we stand through these trials and that we don't run away like so much of the world does, or making excuses. And that's why it's so wonderful, this word, as I bring this to a conclusion. We know it so well, but let's turn back to Matthew 17 and verse 20, which speaks of the word as a mustard seed. What does it say in verse 20 of Matthew 17? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And it goes on that sometimes it has to be prayer and fasting and so on. But the point is, it's just a mustard seed. That's all he asks. He's not asking for a great bucket load of faith. He said just a mustard seed, a glimpse of faith. Small will be enough for me to work on your behalf and cast those mountains and obstacles and cast them away as far as the east is to the west. That's how gracious and loving and merciful our Father is. Why has he put that there? Well, because he knows that we go through much trial and tribulation. He knows we go through various times where we battle, or we misunderstand or misrepresent God. We're not seeing what God is trying to say. He doesn't always get our attention straight away because we get in the way. We're the obstacle. But you see, God never gives up on us, does he? He works day and night in his mercy and grace, long-suffering, gentleness, getting us to that place where, yes, it's even just a mustard seed of faith. And that's why faith is going to be tested. And we're going through our tests now. We're going through our trials. We're going through the fiery furnace. But praise God, we don't get burnt up. We still come out the other end. We're still confessing, believing, fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold unto eternal life. Because that is what is preparing us as the overcomers, the first fruits of this last day. Why am I stressing this as I close? Because the days of tribulation and the great tribulation are rapidly coming. And if it's not the mercy of God, none will be able to stand any at all in those days. And we know this if we read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that speaks to the church at Smyrna, which is the persecuted church. It says, do not fear any of these things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Many will have to go through great tribulation, but we can now stand. We can now be purified, because God is purifying the sons of Levi. And that's what he does. These trials purify us so that we may be able to stand in his presence. Because there are many who are running away. There are many who don't want to go through trial. There are many who are burying their heads in the sand, hoping it will go away, but it isn't going to. And they will have to go through great tribulation. But here he's even promised to the persecuted church. We know that these seven churches are types that we have today. We can glean spiritually from them. And what did Jesus have to say about this? In Matthew 24. In Matthew 24. Let's just turn to that. And verse 13 of Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So it is an enduring. It is a staying with it. It is a time where it seems maybe God has left you or forsaken you. Maybe it is a time when it just seems my prayers don't get answered. They don't seem to go any higher than the ceiling. But stay with it. Stay with it. God will be faithful. Sometimes the delays to our faith is absolutely needed for our faith, so that we can believe for greater things. Sometimes our faith requires and needs the delays to get a greater and stronger faith. So don't give up. And I think we're going to really, really appreciate the faith and the deeper life teaching that God has graciously been giving to us over the years. Because at the end of the day, we stand by faith. And our faith has to be real, because our faith is looking to Jesus. And Jesus is the one. He is the Word. He is the beginning. He is the Creator. He is, as we've read in the Gospel of John. That is what makes our faith real. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you for speaking to us, helping us, encouraging us. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's what you have decreed. It's what you see is right. We're not going to question it, but we're going to trust and believe that that's what you have set for each of us, is to walk by faith and embracing those promises, your word, that you have given to us. So Lord, I thank you for our fellowship today. Lord, I pray you will bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that you will continue to do that work in the inner man. Father, that they will no longer depend on any idols or the arm of the flesh, but that they will be separated, sanctified, set apart unto you, walking by faith and not by sight.
Lord, be all. sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, thou my true word. Oh!